AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Happy Easter episode of the 1973 podcast. I believe this is episode 8, and we're ready to tear it up for another week. A lot of stuff to talk about. Got a bunch of emails this week. We're going to try to read one so it doesn't take up the whole podcast, but we're going to get rolling with some stuff. I just want to give a shout-out to ran into our buddy Scott from Brock Street, sent us some stuff. I got a nice toque for the winter for the rink. Couple other things, and we should be getting some stuff in the mail for Ed, and we'll see where we go from there. But thanks, Scott, if you're watching. I know it's much appreciated, and you know, it's growing by the week. We're getting more traction and getting some really good emails sent in, and this week I think was one of the best ones so far. Very well thought out. You can tell somebody, you know, has been watching since day one. So before we get going with the email, I want to talk about something that I brought up a couple weeks ago, and I want to tell you who the girl was from the MMA that I was talking about. It's Evanine Bridges. If you Google that, check it out. Good stuff. Maybe you'll see her in the WWE now that they've merged. We'll talk about that too. That's also you know, something to talk about, the merger with Endeavor, and we'll get there when we get to some wrestling stuff. So start off with Ed and read some emails. What do you got this week?
It's all right tonight. Hey man, thanks a lot, Peter. There's a friend of ours that we used to play hockey with many moons ago, and he just says loving the podcast. Even though I'm not a 1973er by 21 days, keep it up. So I thought that was pretty nice, Peter. Thanks for the kind words, man. We really appreciate that. Thank you. So his question are: what are your thoughts on the merger between the WWE and UFC? Do you think it will pave the way for more UFC fighters to bounce back and forth between the two entities, or even pull double duty perhaps? Thomas, you're going to go first, man.
Well, I think it takes away from the legitimacy a little bit of the UFC with like the casual fan anyway. I think they're naturally going to think now, because of how WWE is scripted, that they're going to think that when their guy loses, say last night they had a pay-per-view and Adesanya beat Pereira, and people are going to say, oh, well, is it fake? Was it fixed? So in that respect, I think that it's going to hurt it a little bit. But as long as they keep it two separate entities, which I hear they're going to do to start off with anyway, I have no problem with it. I mean, it's got to be – I mean, Endeavor has got – Bitcoin. I mean, so I think they're going to be able to throw some money in it if they want to. And I think as long as you don't get too many hands in, like the WWE's creative meetings, I think it'd be all right, because too many cooks just ruins it.
Any thoughts? Oh, okay. So here we go with this. A lot of different angles to hit it with. Putting McMahon in charge again, I think, was a bad move for them. I mean, I know it was probably part of the deal in order for him to, you know, let it go. I'm sure he's got to, you know, be in charge. That's just, he's that type A personality that he is. And a lot of people unhappy there. I don't know if you saw some of the cryptic things, like Bailey had said that she's out and things like that. I think that he's long, and if he wants to run the business side, but I'm fine with that. But as far as like the creative side, everything's got a shelf life, and he's never been on the pulse of what's happened, and probably since, I mean, even the Attitude Era, that was all stolen from like the Jerry Springer and all that. You know, that's what they got. And even ECW was, you know, they'll never admit that they stole stuff, but you know, Shane was watching ECW back then, and he, you know, he probably put some ideas and stole it for his own, and Vince Russo was involved. And so I'm going away from the UFC merger, but I think that, you know, it works when it's good. Like, you know, if guys want to stop fighting in UFC and make that transition to WWE, like, you know, Shamrock did and Dan Severin, and, you know, Brock Lesnar's bounced back and forth. I mean, even, I don't know how deep Matt Riddle was in UFC. You know, I never saw him fight in UFC. I haven't watched it in a long, long time. Maybe I should start again.
He probably fought a few times.
Yeah, I mean, the CM Punk thing, you know, I think it's good when it works, when it's, you know, but I agree with Tom, keep it separate. You know, on the flip side of that, there's a ton of companies that they could have sold to that it would have been worse. I mean, if they had sold to Disney, I mean, it would have been, just imagine what Disney would have done with that. I mean, they could have tore it all up, and, you know, I'd like to see the, a little bit more of what ECW does. I mean, see the blood come back a little bit, you know, for high profile matches, storytelling, not over the top, but, you know, like, I'm a big fan of, you can't have a cage match of any kind, whether it's Elimination Chamber, old school cage match, Hell in a Cell. If there's no blood, then there's no storytelling. You gotta have some kind of color in that. And, you know, when Cody was getting beat up by Brock Lesnar the other night, could have used a little bit of color just to get it over, you know, as you know, just a story building, you know, that match with him and Roman Reigns, that could have used a little bit of color. Both guys could have been busted open. It would have been fantastic, you know, especially with the outcome with Cody losing, which I could not believe, but it's almost like there's your punishment for leaving. It's coming back full tilt, you know. So, yeah, I mean, the merger in itself, I think it's good. I think it was bought by a company that understands kind of what they had, rather than it being like a Disney or, you know, could have been Betty Crocker that bought it, or Procter & Gamble. Or it could have been a lot worse. So, you know, we'll just see. I'd like to see, you know, AEW get back as a competitor with that, now push themselves a little more. I know Drew McIntyre had put something out too that he wants to leave. So we'll see. It's as usual with interest, and it's something to talk about on the podcast, and something to keep us going and whatever, keep people watching and whatever.
You'll see a couple of crossovers. Like, I know Daniel Cormier is a huge wrestling fan. He's retired from the UFC, but he does announcing for them. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him come over, not to say he's going to start wrestling, but you may see him come make it a couple appearances, maybe become an announcer or something. And I mean, I know Conor McGregor is a huge fan, so he'll probably make an appearance, not to say he's going to get involved in it or anything, but at least just get a rub off of it, I guess, for try to bring more fans over. I mean, granted, most WWE fans are UFC fans and vice versa, but I think they'll try to get as many new eyes as they can on it.
Yeah, that's always what they wanted. You know, it's like a lot of these businesses, they don't worry about the audience they have. It's the audience they don't have. And it's almost like a slap in the face of the people that have been with you since Jump Street. And it happens with a lot of different things. So not just that, but it's typical for them. So, Ed, thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are, first and foremost, I think it's great. You look at the production value that WWE has and the crossover potential that has with UFC, and promotional-wise, from how WWE really gets their people good on the mic. And I mean, and Tom, I'm sure that you can agree with me on this one. The guys in the UFC, you know, there's only so many Connors, you know. There's only, like, and that's the thing is like, that's how you build that excitement for the fights, you know. So I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's kind of great. I mean, there's always been going to be crossing over. I would have to say that, you know, you can take either a pro or a con about, you know, that the fans are going to think it's fixed or not. Well, I mean, I would say look at more Vegas than anything else, and that would probably be the true kind of like true take on what's going to happen. And so that's my thing is I think it's great. I really think that there's a lot of potential because I do feel like that UFC has kind of like lost a lot of steam since they switched from Fox to ESPN. With the broadcast, ESPN always preempts them with, other sports that, it's like, look, I'm tuning in to watch UFC. That's my thing. I'm supposed to be your key demographic, and they've pushed it to ESPN2, and like if something goes extra long on ESPN2, then it all of a sudden it's it goes to ESPNU or whatever. So I think that having the publicity machine that the WWE is a wonderful thing because I really think that the ABC/ESPN deal slash Disney/National Geographic, I think it kind of hurt UFC quite a bit. I mean, from a business standpoint, it made complete sense why Dana and the guys made that decision to go with that. It was show money. So that's my take.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that Dana White had said that Vince McMahon's his boss now. So that's pretty comical to look at it like that, that Vince McMahon's higher up on the totem pole than Dana White is. So it's definitely going to be interesting to watch it play out. I'd like to see them eventually get away from the Peacock network and get one combat sports network that is WWE library with their pay-per-views plus UFC all in one, just in one. You could, if that's your thing, you're all in with it. You're going to get the UFC pay-per-views. You're going to get WWE pay-per-views, everything under that Endeavor umbrella on one streaming network, whether what they call it, I don't know, Endeavor maybe, whatever, but just to get everything in house and kind of have maybe somebody that's never watched UFC that watches wrestling, maybe click on a couple of, things that are on the network because they pay for it and vice versa. So it's pretty interesting, but I think you're going to see that stuff happen more often now with big mergers like that with different things. And I just, something to talk about, something else to talk about. And, McMahon back in the picture, that's always interesting. So with that being said, thoughts on the WrestleMania fallout?
I'm like you. I was shocked that Cody Rhodes didn't win. I mean, it. I don't really know. I mean, after the pay-per-view, they did – it's funny, they're kind of copying now AEW by having like press conferences, and they had Roman Reigns there, and he was saying that it's a lot. He said when he came back from having his cancer scare that he told people he wanted to tell a long story, and that he's telling people that this is only act three. He says it's a long, long, it's going to be a long, long storyline. So I don't know. I mean, I agree. Like after he said that, just this past weekend, Kurt Angle came on a podcast and he said that this isn't the old 80s territories where you haven't Ric Flair was champion for however many years. He said, you can't have a champion now for 3 years. And it's just people today with a TikTok mentality, they don't want to sit there and watch something that long. They want everything now. They want instant gratification.
Yeah, that's lousy when it comes to that. I don't agree with that. I like something long drawn out, takes you on a ride, whether it's good, bad, at least you're emotionally invested in it. I think that's what the wrestling aspect of the psychology of it is. I mean, if you look at it like it's pro sports, those guys are playing for championships. That's what they're on the road for. Mm-hmm. And if you're not basing your psychology around your wrestling company about everybody competing for the championship and being in it for that, then what do you got to create a conflict. You got to create a story. So if Roman Reigns is your guy, then okay, I get it. But I mean, they took the belt off Flair every now and then, so.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, even like, as much as whether you like him or not, seeing a 16-time champion, they did him, like that too for a little while, not to the extreme of a run that Roman Reigns has got, but the talent pool now is a little bit sketchy compared to even in the Ruthless Aggression era. There's no I mean, there's no Randy Orton on the regular. There's no Batista. There's no Edge. There's no Undertaker. There's no CM Punk. There's no Brock Lesnar, and all in that, you know, that Cena picture. He had guys to bounce off of. Not too much to bounce off that's believable in a storyline for Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? It's a tough sell now. But thoughts, Ed, on you know, just that fallout with Cody not winning?
I just was surprised that they didn't give Cody the belt. You know, knowing that the thing that's on tonight with Dusty on A&E, I mean, I figured that would be kind of like the natural kind of like, okay, I know yeah. that the, you know, it was like, this is like the week and a half to 2 weeks of Dusty type thing. And I'm really shocked to see that it kind of went in a different direction.
So staying on the topic of wrestling, we're going to stick with that for a second. Passing of Butch this week. With that being said, those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Are they Hall of Famers?
Thoughts? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Man, because let me, and the reason why I say that, it's in my take on it is, it's because, man, when they were on the mic, man, they got your attention, right? I mean, I never saw them live or anything like that, but they were always crisp in the ring for the most part. You know, they were really good on the mic. And so I'd have to say that the way that for a tag team, they have two guys that kind of really got your attention, you know, kind of brought you into that storyline and everything like that. I mean, I think so. You know, I think so. You know, I mean, that's my take.
It's funny because the fans, only the most fans are going to look at them in WWE and say they were just a comedy act. But a lot of people don't realize how good they were in AWA as the sheep herders, and they weren't the comedy act there. So that's where I think they got in the Hall of Fame, just through that run right there in the AWA.
That's your take. So two guys say in. I'm gonna go the opposite way. I'm gonna say no.
That's all right.
I'm gonna say no, and this is why. Demolition is not in the Hall of Fame. Demolition is a better team than the Bushwhackers slash what I know them as, the Sheepherders. I always try to look at it, and I have the Portuguese Phantom. We're gonna bounce this one off him, but he would say the same thing. Did you go to see those guys? Were those guys ever main eventers? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say maybe merch main eventers, but not as far as a tag team main eventer. I'm going to have to draw the line. I'll be the yin to the yang. I'll play devil's advocate. I'm going to say, and I'm going to say they're not Hall of Famers, but it's good to bring it up, being that Butch passed away. So we only got one left, and you know, as the clock ticks, there's less and less of those guys coming through the door. But they are very, very unique individuals. They are the prototypical guys that could not hold a 9-to-5 job.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
And we're perfect for wrestling. I mean, they wrestled everywhere. Jim Barnett, when they were in Australia, they came here. They were in Florida. They wrestled in Georgia. They wrestled in Mid-Atlantic a little bit for Crockett. They wrestled everywhere. I think they even had a small run through World Class, but a Portland too with Don Owens. So I'm still going to stick to my guns. I'm going to say not Hall of Famers, but we'll digress from that, and we'll start talking some NHL playoff picture. Thomas, your Bruins, what do you got?
Telling you, there's still a train. There's still a wagon right now. I mean, they beat the Flyers tonight, and they were beating with an AHL team for the most part.
Wow. Wow. And that is fact, though. That is fact, Thomas. Because I believe that there were seven guys who were sitting tonight.
Yeah, there were. I could not. This is the saddest in all the time I've been watching that team. Since I got cable in 1980, I've been watching those freaking Flyers. And I'm going to tell you that it's embarrassing to see opposing fans in that building getting away with that, because they were no, you've been, Tom, you know how it is. Yeah. Whether you like it or you don't like it, they were known for that. It's awful. How can you be chanting, "We want the cup," in that building? I don't get it. It's blows my mind. This is the worst I've ever seen them. As far as like it, they've had bad teams, but up until 2 years ago, their trend was in the playoffs 1 year, miss. This is the first time they missed the playoffs in the entire team's history for like three straight seasons. What the hell is going on? I'm telling you, Chuck Fletcher made some awful moves. And when you hear all that stuff about him with the app, that he was putting trades through. What was he going on? NHL 23 and seeing if the trades would go through and then making deals like that? It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. There's no knock against the guys. It's the whole culture of the thing. Now the fans are terrible now. I don't have anything. I mean, it's sad to say. The thing that sucks is everybody I know that likes hockey, their teams won a Stanley Cup. I'm the only freak. Half these guys like hockey because I'm the guy that was the gate for getting them into hockey. All their teams have won, and I'm sitting here with my thumb on my ass.
It feels terrible. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's like the Roman Reigns thing. It's a long, drawn-out story. What's this, Act 3? Act 3?
You're going to appreciate it more when they get it. It's like the 86-year curse.
Yeah, they're gonna send me a ring in the mail. Well, if they're on an 86-year curse, I don't think I'm going to see the Stanley Cup, Tom.
Patience, young grasshopper. Patience.
Yeah.
Young Jedi, patience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like trying to take a crap on an airplane. You want to make it seem like you just went in there for a quick one.
Well, the last week of this playoffs, of the season, the regular season, is going to be interesting because the last two spots in both conferences are up for grabs for the wild card.
Yeah.
It's going to be a pretty good race between the Panthers, the Islanders, the Pens, and even the Sabres. Sabres still have, I think, four games. So they've got a couple games in hand on these other guys. And they're five or six points behind right now. But if they win those games, they're gonna have a chance.
So who out of the teams in the East that are available for the wild card, who do you want to see in?
I wouldn't mind seeing the Panthers and the Islanders, but I don't want to see them. I'm tired of the Penguins. I'm not a Sidney Crosby fan. I just don't like his attitude. The guy's great. He's a hell of a player. He's just got a piss poor attitude for the most part. And I think they're on the downswing.
Thomas, you better be careful. We may have to get legal involved in here on this one. Jesus, man. The hell's the matter with you, man? Coming hard on Crosby like that? Damn,
play him. So what you're saying is you want to see him get the Billington. You want to see him get a punch in the face.
Yeah.
Ed, thoughts on the East Wildcard? Who do you want in? Well, the Panthers would probably be great for you locally. You could probably watch more if they were on, right? Or
actually, it's Nashville. I'd like to see Nashville and the Islanders hop in. And not going to lie, it kind of would be nice to have Buffalo in the conversation for the first time.
I know.
It's been probably, 15, 20 years since they've been in the playoffs, right?
Well, the only good push they had was 99 when they lost to the Stars. That was it. So they haven't really done much since then.
Right.
But,
I'm still sticking with my picks, man. I'm still going. I really think it's going to be Tampa and Colorado in the finals. I they're both just really complete teams. And I mean, honestly, like Colorado, man, they got jets, man. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Edmonton is going to play them really hard. But I'm just saying, this is that Avalanche, man. They just looked like a machine last year, you know.
What's tough for me is I'll like a team. I'll get involved with them. I'll get invested in them. But when the NHL force feeds certain teams like they used to with the Penguins, and they did with Colorado when Roy was there and those guys, it makes you hate it. It's like when WWE would push, you know, certain guys down your throat. It's like when you're force feeding certain teams and there's teams that are like just as good that don't get the conversation, like, you know, like the Crosby Malkin years. And then it's, you know, when a team starts getting force fed, I become anti-involved with them. You know, it's like you already want to see somebody like take the legs out from under them. Because
I'm going to interject here. So this would be kind of almost like your great disdain for the local talented team that's about 60 miles from your house. With, you know, that has that B with the spokes coming off of it.
Yeah.
They break out that yellow jersey with the big bear on it.
Yeah, speaking of breaking out a jersey with a bear on it, we recently got some news about a team with a bear on it that I might be the first Bruins team I have to root for in this my entire lifetime. So, but that's just
sitting down.
That's just because the kids are involved. If the kids weren't involved, they get it's a whole nother level. I wouldn't mind seeing Buffalo get in. Just you never know. You tiptoe into the playoffs and you get a little momentum like Jersey used to do, and you might roll.
The goalie is playing really well.
Yeah.
Davey,
who is it? Devin Levi.
Yeah, Devin Levi. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's Northeastern.
Yep. Now, haven't talked crap about the Pens. Looking at the schedule, they've got the easiest schedule left. They've got the Blackhawks in Columbus.
Typical. So,
and now the Panthers depend. They have a tough schedule, but depends on if the team sit people because they've got the Leafs in Carolina left. So
yeah, I don't think. I thought the Panthers had a better team last year.
Yeah.
And they were like a wet fart. So, I mean, I don't think the Tkachuk factor is really going to make that much of a difference. So, you know, are they built for the playoffs? I don't think so. I'd almost rather see the Islanders get in just because they got a little bit more grit to them.
I'm worried about the Bruins playing in the first round just because of their defense and the goalie. I mean, they're tough. They're just a tough out. Either way, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, maybe not next week's podcast, but the podcast after that, going through the playoffs, should be absolutely sick. When we're all the games will be on TV. We'll be able to watch almost everything, and it'll be, you know, full tilt right till the end. So it'll be great. We'll have a lot of time to hit that hard. So
hey, I'm gonna jump in here about the TV because we are always always great to hammer a certain particular network about their rather poor handling of our beloved sport of hockey.
Yeah,
I will say, I mean, ABC yesterday, man, they had hockey all day long.
Yeah.
Good games that were on, and then last night, if you took the time to watch the NCAA final, man, exciting game.
Actually, they had it on the plane when we were coming back. So it was cool. I mean, you don't get that too often. I mean, if you're gonna fly with Delta, they got this cool thing right now where it's in the back of the headrest. They have all kinds of movies, live TV, and TV shows already logged in. So all you do is you get the headphones, you can pick whatever movie you want to watch. I mean, they had even like up-to-date movies, and it was all free with the flight. So shout out to Delta. We'll take you as a sponsor anytime you want.
Absolutely.
Give us some free miles. We'll plug the shit out of it.
Everything I post online will be hashtag Delta.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so Delta was great to fly with. A lot better than some of the other airlines we've used over the last few trips. So with that being said, we're going to segue over into some music. And Tom, pick of the week, what do you got for an album this week?
Band After Your Own Heart. I know they're tight with you. You're tight with them. It's Kiss. Kiss World, The Best of Kiss.
Oh, okay.
And yep. It came out in 2017, I guess. It was a release. It's like the best of. A ton of music on it that I love. Detroit Rock City, Lick It Up was one of my favorite songs. I mean, that you don't really hear live all that often, but it's one of my favorite songs. Hard Luck Woman, Shout It Out Loud, Dr. Love, Love Gun. It's just there's 20 songs on it, and there's probably 16 of them are probably songs that I play on my almost every day on my iPad.
Great lyrics for kids, and then when you're like 18, 19, you find out what all those lyrics are about, you're like, what the hell was I listening to?
Yeah.
But yeah, so a little bit of music controversy this week, staying in the Doc McGee camp. Mick Mars had come out with some kind of some dirt, yeah, per se, on the band, how he got ousted, as he put, gaslighted. Tom, thoughts on that?
It's crazy. He must have personal beef, but the guy he called out by name is Nikki Sixx. So I don't know if Nikki Sixx is like the guy that I think Vince Neil and Tommy Lee are just like, they just want to fucking play. They don't care. I think Nikki Sixx is the one that's all about the money, and he's like the businessman of the group. So I think that's the biggest thing. But I mean, I feel bad for Mars because he's got that condition that is really, really bad. So I mean, I can see both sides, because he doesn't want to tour, but he still wants to be in the band, says he's in the band and still wants to play. I don't know. It's a tough situation to figure out, because I mean, I could see both sides of the coin. I mean, now that, like you say, that they're both spilling tea on each other now, with them saying that he sucks on tour now, when he was last year's tour, that he was screwing up the chords and screwing up songs. And then now Mars is coming out just with all kinds of shit talk, brings up the manslaughter charge against Vince Neil. I mean, it's getting kind of nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was saying stuff about how some of the tracks are pre-recorded, and yes, you know, Nikki Sixx doesn't play bass on all the songs and all that stuff. So it's, it's fun if you're, you know, a spectator and you're just watching it unfold. And I've never seen an industry where four guys, no matter what band it is, cannot get on the same page to make millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. It's like, if those guys had to work a regular 9-to-5, they would jump right back on that train in a minute. And, you know,
absolutely.
Say what you want. Those guys, they don't know how good they have it with, you know, just the accolade and the music catalog and the things you've done and probably the things that you've seen that you can't say and all that stuff. Ed, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, man, I mean, how can you not love Kiss? You know, I mean, really, I've seen the ticket prices for the upcoming, you know, last ever tour.
I
do feel like some of the prices are a little high. I mean, I obviously, you know, not to get political, everything has gone up in price.
Oh,
obviously,
everything.
You know, but what I'm saying is that like they put on a great show. They come out and they really, truly, they sound great. Their pyrotechnics are great. So, I mean, I get it, you know. The whole thing with Nikki Sixx and you know, I agree with you, Andy, man. Like, how can you not, like, dude, like, it's a license to print money at this point. It's not, you've already done all the hard work. All you have to do is, like, hey, we're going here. How many shows can we plug in? And we don't want the promoter to lose their shirt. And we want to make as much money. Where are we touring?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how hard? That's not hard. You know, I mean, I don't get it. Like, grinding every day, like, you know, so we'll go into a nice little segue into that, you know, because it is hard times. You know, I mean, yeah, see what I did there. Yeah. I'll be here until about 8:50.
Yep, it's true. But speaking of that, we're gonna wrap it up for another week. A lot of things in the works. We're gonna work and try to get everything bigger and better every week, and keep those emails coming in. Like, subscribe, help us out, do all that fun stuff, just to keep the train rolling, and we'll keep getting bigger and better, and we're just trying to do our best every week. The answer emails, send them in. It's in the description below, and just keep sending them in. We'll, if it doesn't get on this week, we'll get it on another week. We'll do our best to keep everybody happy and keep the fans coming in, and we're not like Kiss, but we're getting.
We're not.
Yeah. If you wanted the best, you know, this is the way you should be.
Nope.
No pyro, but We do sing all our own music. It's still our voices. There's no tracks here. We're not overdubbing.
We're not auto-tuning.
Nope, it's a gonzo shoot. It's a one take. We don't edit nothing. So what you get is what you get.
That's right. I want to go out and interrupt you just for about 10 seconds. Portuguese Phantom, the file cabinet of excuses. Not happening, brother. Remember, the cream rises to the top, and this is hard time.
Yeah, and the budget doesn't call for a fourth one. So if you're not willing to do this pro bono, it ain't happening. You got to attach yourself to the train at the beginning. Don't be running alongside for the money train to show up. So with that being said, Tom, got something?
We got a couple of our OG fans. It's their birthdays today. I want to wish Darren a happy birthday and Javi, happy birthday, guys.
Yep.
Happy birthday, boys.
Yeah, Darren, thanks for always, since day one, being a fan of the show and you know, pumping ties and stuff like that. And Hav, we haven't seen you in a while. We're thinking about you. Try to get in touch. Yeah, we're totally thinking about you. We didn't forget about you. We want you to know that. If you see this, we're thinking about you. Reach out. We'll see you next week, guys.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.